Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, it's certainly been a crazy week in the market this week, and today we're going to explore some behavioral finance. You know, that is a very fascinating field that looks at emotions and business and how psychological factors affect your decision making. But before we jump into that exciting topic, I wanted to talk for a minute about the market, because there's a lot of lessons that could be learned this week. You know, Steve, I think it's important. The reason I want to talk about behavioral psych more about the emotional aspect is because I know a lot of people made bad moves on Monday.
Well, sure. I mean, that was just, it kind of hit over the weekend. I started to see some stuff bubbling to the surface. I thought, well, this seems odd. And then Monday morning, oh my gosh, the floodgates opened.
Oh, it's absolutely crazy. And it's like, you know, like I've known for a long time since I started doing this in 1990. So it's been a while. But the stock market tends to shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah.
And some of us say it's fire, ready, aim, not the other way around. All right.
Right.
And I think what you saw, you know, and guys, if you weren't watching the markets, then I should tell you what we're looking at is the news that came out from a Chinese AI company that apparently was a hedge fund manager in China, decided to utilize artificial intelligence in his hedge fund practice, and then they started to develop this model that they called DeepSeek, S-E-E-K. And they used a different method of coming up with the answer, I guess I'd say. And not that I'm an expert by any means on AI, but a lot of what we hear about is inference and inferential learning and large language models, and how these cost, you know, billions and billions of dollars to put together. And you need all this data, you need all these pieces and equipment. And you got the companies here, like the big ones, we call them the hyperscalers, like Microsoft, Amazon, Meta. Those are the ones that we, you know, Google, that are just putting, I think Meta announced Friday, if I'm not mistaken, last Friday, that they were planning to spend an additional $60 billion, if I'm not mistaken, between 60 and 80, as well as Microsoft, this year on AI. And that primarily is NVIDIA's GPUs. And so there was a lot of talk about, you know, are these companies just spending more than they have to? Because the people from China, the researchers from China, claim that DeepSeek was developed for less than $6 million.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's the big news, right?
That is the big news. And the first thing is, okay, is it true? But, yeah, that's the big news.
Okay, because it's China. Got it.
Because it's China, and because that's like 1%. 1% of what they've been spending here. That's how much cheaper it was. And so what happened is, everybody, just like I started off saying, everybody says sell first and we'll figure this out later, which is not a move I recommend. It's not what most professional advisors did. Most professional advisors on Monday, you know what they did, Steve?
What's that?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Seems like the right thing to do.
You guys, I believe that's the right thing to do. When the market gets crazy like that, That's when the algorithms take over. And these big institutions, very, very wealthy investors, just think about the billionaires. They have teams and teams of code computer guys, coders, AI people, whatever the latest and greatest technology is, they have dozens of these on their staff trying to come up with programs that can predict what's going to happen, that can react to things as they happen. And so that's why you get these extreme moves, because a lot of these algorithms are programmed with the same, you know, support levels and the same, you know, sell if it hits this level. And there, a lot of them are using the same levels. And so when a stock crosses either above or below it, you get this huge move. And it's because the algorithms, the computers are taking over. And I don't like to try to trade or invest in that environment, because you can get whipsawed so easily.
Oh,
and so
wow.
If you,
yeah.
You know, and if you look at some of the knock-on effects, NVIDIA, of course, on Monday, that was the biggest market loss in terms of market capitalization ever in history.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal, let me tell you, guys. You know how much NVIDIA lost in value just on Monday? $600 billion. That is more than all of United Healthcare. That's more than all of Netflix, okay? That's what they lost just on Monday. And so there's no question it was a massive move. But if there's a couple of the other stocks that I've mentioned on the show before that have worked out really well for me, mm-hmm. are some of the other plays in AI. I've mentioned many times I'm a huge believer in artificial intelligence. I think it's going to be one of the biggest movements. I don't know what movement's not the right word, but it's bigger than the internet, in my opinion. It's bigger than cloud computing. I think it's up there with electricity and the telephone in terms of impact on humanity.
Oh, and I'll agree with you, Kevin. I think so, too. I mean, there's so much we don't know, which is why it's even bigger.
It is, and I firmly believe we're in the very early innings. I don't know if it's the first inning or if it's the second pitch or if it's, you know, middle of the third inning, but it's very early on in this, guys. And so I try to remind myself of that when I'm looking at all this mayhem and I'm saying, all right, I'm not looking at it for a trade today, tomorrow, next week. Mm-hmm. I'm in this for the next few years at least, if not the next several years. And so I didn't make any moves on Monday. Because of that, and some of them that sold off, though, I've mentioned Vertiv, VRT, right? Mm-hmm. That stock, I started buying that in 40s and 50s last summer, June, July, and it went over, what, 120, 130, 140.
Wow.
And the other day when NVIDIA sold off 15, 16%, Vertiv dropped almost 30%. And if you look at Celestica, that's another one I mentioned, CLS, all right? That's another play in the infrastructure side of our AI. Celestica's been another great one. Same, you know, situation. I had more than double in it. And on Monday, it dropped 30% in one day. And I thought that was a mistake. And if you look at the chart just from this week on, let's say, Celestica, because they since have come out with their quarterly earnings, which were fantastic. So later in the week on the earnings release, the stock pops 15%. And so if you had panicked and sold out of that one, let's say Celestica, on Monday when the market tanked, you missed like a 20% rebound just in those few days since. And so it's very important that we take a look at this, not just, you know, I mentioned behavioral psych, which we'll talk more about.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, you don't want to make investment decisions emotionally. And if you made the decision to make a move on Monday because of what you saw in the market, I believe that was an emotional decision. Because if you just acted on that impulse, you're acting on that emotion, you're acting on fear, right? It's the two base emotions that drive investing are fear and greed. Period, end of story. That's it, all right? And once you realize that, you can just ask yourself, hey, what am I afraid right now? Because I see this news, holy crap, what did China do that we thought we were gonna, you know, our government tries to restrict the sale of high-end computer chips to China, specifically so that we can be the leader in AI. And then what happens?
Whoops.
Whoops. They come out with something way better, way cheaper, and us limiting sales of chips didn't have a damn thing to do with slowing them down.
No.
All right.
Well, I mean, I liken this maybe to, the comparison, you know, Apple always has the highest price and everything, you know, and everybody else is cheaper, and mm-hmm. everything else is just as good, if not better.
That's,
and I'm wondering if that was sort of the mentality.
You know what? It's very possible. I have a lot of faith in Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA.
Okay.
NVIDIA has gone through several iterations over history. In other words, in the beginning, it was a gaming company. The chips were made for video games.
Sure.
That's what they were made for, video games. And then it rotated into more of a cloud play. And then it rotated into an artificial intelligence play. And I think he's one of the very best to ever run a technology company.
Look at his track record.
Look at his track record and look at what he's built. I mean, my God, it's incredible. Yeah. In the face and right alongside all the competition that's always been there, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You got to always ask yourself, is somebody going to come up with a better, faster, cheaper chip or whatever it might be? And yeah, they're always fighting to do that. And it's not just competition within the United States, right? It's worldwide. And so, to me, the lesson is that you want to let your calmer head prevail, if you will, and try not to make a decision emotionally. It doesn't mean it's always going to work. You know, I could have come in on Tuesday and said, "Oh crap, I should have sold because it's going down further." But to me, it looked like a panic, market panic reaction,
sure,
which I've seen before, and a lot of times they recover quickly. Now, one of the things to remember, an old saying we have on from brokerage days, is that Wall Street tends to eat like a bird and crap like an elephant.
Yep. Okay.
And that's exactly what you saw.
It sure is. Yeah, that's a great analogy. I love that.
Early in the week, it goes down, or you can say, it takes the elevator going down and it takes the stairs going up.
Yeah.
You know, they go up slowly, but man, do they drop fast. And that's why you really have to be in touch with yourself and how much risk you can really handle. Because you don't want to be in a situation where you say, "Holy shit, I didn't realize I could lose this much. I've lost too much money. I'm crushed. I'm devastated. I'm jumping out the window." All right? Which
yeah,
which has happened. And so I think that's why it's so important when you're working with your advisor or when you're putting together your portfolio that you have a good understanding of how much volatility you're comfortable with, so you're not losing sleep at night, but you can still, you know, hopefully reach your goals. And that's what a good advisor is going to help you figure out. But one of the reasons why we say to diversify is because nobody can predict these things when they happen. You know, there's all kinds of talking heads on the television saying they know what's going on and they try to give you an explanation for what's going on. Truth is, they're all just guessing. There's no definitive answer what causes a movement in a stock because you've got millions of different people playing it, investing it, hedging it, using options off of it. There's all kinds of different strategies involved. It's impossible to truly know the reason why. There's no singular reason, in my opinion, why a lot of these stocks move. It was a comment by the president. Oh, it was something out of China. There's always going to be some reason they can come up with. It doesn't mean, you know, that there's not going to be big sell-offs. And the thing to remember is that you can employ risk management, which I've talked about before. We can use stop orders, say, "Hey, I want to try to limit my loss." This is a perfect example of when stop orders don't work. If you could have put in a trailing stop, which is a stop order that kind of floats up behind this. So as the stock's going from 105, 110, 115, 120, the trailing stop moves up with it.
Okay.
So, all right. And so you can keep it 5%, 10% below whatever the closing price is. And then if the stock sells off, it will automatically trigger and sell. And so the other day, you could have had a stop order in that could have triggered down at, you know, $95. And then, you know, a couple of days later, it's back at 115. So you can get whipsawed with stop orders. The bottom line is there's no perfect solution. They can be effective, but the problem with those types of orders is that a lot of times this news comes out when the market's closed. So the stock could close at 120 and it could open at 90. And you can't do anything about it, right?
That's kind of what happened with this, right? Didn't it launch that kind of over the weekend?
It was over the weekend, and if you look at the Friday closing prices compared to the Monday opening prices, that's where your discrepancy was. So there's no risk management, in my opinion, that could have saved you from that because it happened while the market was closed.
Yeah.
And so it's just a big reminder that, you know, news can come out of left field unexpectedly, and it can have a massive move on even what we think to be the most intriguing, the most, you know, the industry, the area of technology with the most, the brightest future. Something comes out negative like that, and it can hammer these stocks. So you want to be careful, right? You don't have too much in any one position. You know, concentration can either create great wealth or it can create really quick poverty, all right? Diversification is how you reduce the risk that you reduce any single stock or any stock concentration risk through diversifying, because hopefully something will be going up when other things are going down.
I think that sounds like a good idea and a great way to look at it. SilverleafFinancial.com, there's the website. You can find Kevin and learn a lot because, one, that website is very deep with a lot of great information, but, two, you can email Kevin right from the website. You can set an appointment on the website. You make it super easy.
You know what? I appreciate that, Steve. I try to. Guys, and you know what? If you go to the website, SilverleafFinancial.com, that's leaf like a tree, there's a button or a tab in the bottom right corner that connects, that's from Calendly. It connects directly to my calendar. And on that, with that tab, you can just request a 15-minute phone call. And that's it. It's just a brief 10 or 15-minute phone call that we talk to see if we might be a good fit and that it makes sense for you to set up a face-to-face meeting. I think it's the lowest pressure way that I could find up with, the easiest, most convenient way that I could find is to just have a simple phone call and see if it makes sense, if you want to talk further, and then we can take it from there. But there's a lot of tools on the website. I keep a bunch of the recent podcasts. You can listen to the shows from the past and see if my philosophy matches up with yours. And there's a lot of content on there. There's blogs, there's material. And there's a link for a free book on retirement planning, so feel free to request that. I'll be happy to email it to you.
All right. And so, great. Yeah, SilverleafFinancial.com. Check it out. And so let's jump into some of the behavioral finance. And we were talking before, and you have a background in that, essentially just from your brokerage days. But in college, you sort of took some psych classes, and you think it may have helped.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. And I took quite a few psych classes, actually. And, you know, I found it intriguing. I find it intriguing, right. You know, the way human behavior, right? And what causes some people to the whole thing, you can look at a situation, you can witness an event, right? And you get completely different descriptions of what happened from different people that were there. And I'm like, how does that happen? And many, many different other things that went on in my family and friends. And I wanted to try to get some insight. So I took all sorts of psych classes, psychology of women, abnormal psych, educational psych, behavior modification, and social psychology, and on and on and on. And so I do think it's helped me just overall in life, because I think if you got a better understanding of human behavior, hopefully it helps you do better interacting with other humans. But it really comes down to, you know, why don't we always act rationally, with regards to money? Why do we make irrational decisions? And it's because of emotions. It's emotions. I think that is why we don't always act rationally. And, you know, it can be overconfidence, like I mentioned before, fear and greed. There's so many sayings on Wall Street that go back to it. About taking a profit, you know, something along the lines of, you know, pigs take profits, but hogs get slaughtered, something like that.
Always, yep, always.
So you can't go broke taking a profit. And it's really a justification of why you should sell and take a profit. And don't worry about it if the stock keeps going higher, right? So that's when the guy will say, you can never go broke taking a profit. They're trying to make you feel better you took a profit. And because a lot of people continue to watch whatever they sold after they sold it. And then some people will come back and say, why'd you tell me to sell that, or why'd you sell that? Because now I see it's even higher. And the bottom line is that there is no perfect solution. And so you want to set your goals and your objectives, but you got to remember these are just tools. They're investments. We're not marrying them. We're not married to them. They're just tools. They're vehicles to help us get where we want to go. And you can lose. You don't have to make your money back with the same company you lost it with. So if you lost money on the stock, just take the loss and move on. Find the next best investment, right?
Well, that's where it's taking our emotions, and you see it, you know, you take the emotion out of it and make it very simple for us to, okay, I get it, I'm going to believe you.
And that's the thing is that, a good advisor can help you avoid making irrational decisions just by having a conversation.
Yes,
and just giving you a different perspective, a different point of view, right? And I've done a lot of that in my career. And, you know, people like to like reassurance. They like to know that they're on the right track. They want to know they didn't make a mistake. They want to know, did something change since we bought this that now I need to, you know, change my strategy here? So there's a lot of questions people have because it's your money and you work hard for it. And most of us realize that and we don't take it for granted. And it's very important to me that I make prudent decisions with my clients' money and that I'm not taking more risk than they're comfortable taking. And I'm doing everything I can to make the best decisions that I can for them. And some clients like to have more conversations than others. And I say, all you need to do is just tell your advisor, you know, because it's impossible for us to know how often you want to be contacted unless you tell us. And, you know, because I've got some clients that they really never want to talk. It's like, hey, just keep making me money. I don't really need to hear from you. And others will say they want more frequent updates. So you just need to let us know. But if you find yourself checking your account value, you know, every day, then you might be taking more risk than you should. You know, but sometimes going back to the emotions, one thing that I've seen is that as people get older, sometimes they let their fear of running out of money make them get too conservative in their investment posture.
And that can be a negative too.
It can be, because you might wind up not being able to keep up with inflation. You may, if you have sure. such a conservative portfolio that it's not even keeping up with inflation, then you're going to be losing spending power over time, right? Which means your lifestyle is going to suffer, or you're going to have to find additional sources of income. You know, get a job or cross your fingers you get an inheritance, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the approach we recommend. And so I do think that for most people, if you're comfortable with some volatility, then I think it makes sense to have money in the market indefinitely. All right. I'm not saying to be out there buying cryptocurrencies with your retirement money. Although, in my defense, I do own some, and I've got some clients that own it. You know, I'm saying to build a rational, you know, portfolio that's based on factors that we can measure that make sense. In other words, let's look at cash flow. Let's buy companies on a fundamental basis. Let's not get too crazy. Let's look at the beta. Like, guys, you need to know some of the characteristics of a stock before you buy it. And one thing that I always look at is beta. And beta is a measurement of how much a stock moves in relation to the index in which it belongs. So let's say it's the S&P 500. If you have a beta of 1.5, that means that stock is 50% more volatile than the S&P 500 index. All right? You can look at some companies. It would be the tech stocks, you know, or some of the electric company stocks. Like, for instance, I own shares in Vistra. And that's one that the other day, it's a big electric company, it's a utility. Their okay. earnings are going through the roof. I also own Talon Energy for some clients. I own Constellation Energy for some clients. Guys, we've got, this client has like a 2,000% gain in Constellation Energy. Had it for years and years and years. But if you look at these stocks now, their earnings are going through the roof because of all the energy demand that's anticipated from all the data centers and all the AI and crypto growth.
Wow. That's just future. I mean, they're just very much looking down the road. And that's what the market does, right?
Very much so, very much so. And these are also examples. Vistra, the symbol is VST, Victor Sam Thomas. And if you look at that one, it's had a phenomenal run. It's like doubled or tripled in the last year. And it was up at, I want to say, 185, 190 on Friday. And then Monday come in and bam, it got hit hard. And I think it dropped like $50.
Holy cow, that's significant.
It was significant, and it's an example of looking at it, and it makes you want to puke. Okay, I'll admit it. It was one of the worst losses I've ever had in my portfolio on that single day, because I am concentrated in artificial high-growth stocks. I've got high-growth stocks in my tax-free accounts. So I've got Bitcoin, I've got NVIDIA, Vertiv, Celestica, CyberArk, Vistra, and others.
Sure.
They're all volatile, okay? But I know what I'm doing, and I know how much risk I'm taking, and I'm comfortable with it, but it's definitely not for everybody. And so Monday, when I look at my portfolio at the end of the day, it made me want to throw up, all right? But I also felt very confident that the market was overreacting to that news and that we didn't even have all the information yet. And it was just too soon. It was a knee-jerk response. And so I'm glad to say that I held on. Tuesday was a good day. Wednesday was a good day, and so it's coming back. It's made back a lot of those losses already. And so we want to be careful. You want to be aware of your emotions, right? So that you can help try to make better, more rational decisions, so that you don't fall victim to an emotion, to a panic sale, where you get out of something that you really, really wanted to hold on to, but you maybe freaked out a little bit and you sold it. It's okay. All of us have made those mistakes, but we want to try to recognize it so we can minimize them.
Sure.
And I think a good advisor can help you with this. And honestly, that's why a lot of people like working with advisors, because they say, you know what, I don't want to do that. I'm just not into it. I don't really enjoy it. And so I just want you to take care of it for me.
Yeah.
And that's perfect. That's what we do.
Well, and I think so for a lot of us, it's like, yeah, I would like you to, because if I choose, I'm going to choose wrong. Chances are I'm going to choose wrong. So I will take advice from you, the independent fiduciary with a lot of experience. Yep, sign me up for that.
Oh, I tell you what, that's a new client that I just brought on. That's what she said. She's like, I just don't want to do that. I don't enjoy it. That's not what I enjoy. And I just want somebody that I can, you know, feel good about, that I can trust, that you'll take care of it for me.
Sure.
And that's exactly what we do. And so, you know what? It takes a lot of, I've been doing this for 35 years now. And I say that like, holy cow.
Does that seem possible to you?
It, not really, no.
I know. You just look back, you kind of, really?
Oh my gosh. When I look back, I'm saying, you, seriously? And It's not my first rodeo, right? And there's all sorts of lessons to be learned, and all sorts of different market cycles and different things that come into play. And you got all these newsletter writers that can say anything that they want because they're not registered. And so they can hype a stock, they can pump. We used to talk about pump and dump schemes, which a lot of newsletter writers are behind, because they can say the most hyperbolic things you can imagine, that, you know, to get you to buy something because they bought it ahead of time. And once they get enough of you guys buying it to drive up the stock, they're going to dump it on you. So the pump is the narrative that they write about how fantastic this investment opportunity is, where they bought it ahead of time. And the dump is after they convince people in the public, retail investors, to buy it and drive up the price. That happened. It's not uncommon with penny stocks.
Oh, sure. It's also just a jumping off. I mean, you're a half a step away from a Ponzi scheme.
Oh yeah, literally. No question about it. And I still can't believe. I read these other stories. I saw, you know, other investment advisors. I have no idea why, but for some reason they keep some of these unscrupulous people keep on thinking they can screw people over, take their money, and print up false statements, and then take money from one person and give it to the other person, and that they're going to get away with it. Some of them do get away with it for years before they're caught.
Well, Bernie Madoff.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And
years.
You know what the good thing about Madoff? As far as I know, his victims have recovered over 90% of their money.
Oh, that's good. That's good news.
Now, it did take a long time. Don't get me wrong. Took a long time. But I read a story a couple of weeks ago that they have recovered almost all the money.
That's great.
And so not that it's a good thing. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. The reason I brought it up is just to remind everybody. Not that you need reminding, but unfortunately there are bad apples in every occupation, in every field. We got bad doctors, bad lawyers, and unfortunately bad investment advisors.
Well, I was just doing a story today. I do a Brokers Behaving Badly segment for a show. And so I read it today. Alan Stanford. Are you familiar with him?
I swear I know that name.
Yeah, because he's a Ponzi scheme guy.
Was that in Florida? Went in Florida, maybe? Long time ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Long
story short, it's a 16-year lawsuit that has just been settled, just right now.
Wow,
and
no
so
kidding.
So he's in prison. He's in year 13 of 110 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's 74 years old.
Yeah.
Good luck getting that money.
Right. It, I remember that one vaguely. I want to say that one's from like 25 years ago.
It's 2013. Let's see, going back. Oh yeah, he was declared indigent in 2010. The Stanford guy.
Okay.
So yeah, this goes back a ways, obviously.
Yeah, it does, and it's hard to find these people. It's hard to spot them and to recognize them sometimes. After you've done your research, you've had your meetings, really what I tell people is, Steve, honestly, I tell people just for when you have nothing else to rely on, rely on your gut. Follow your gut.
Yeah.
And no, it's not like it's a scientific, you know, factor, but sometimes, you know, you get this feeling in the pit of your stomach that something just doesn't feel right.
Right.
If you get that feeling about an investment advisor or anybody else that you're paying for advice, by the way, a tax person, an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor, if you get that feeling, my suggestion is to walk out and maybe find somebody else. All right. Because when I've done it myself, 9 times out of 10, I come back later on saying I should have trusted my gut. I should have trusted my gut. And so that's what I try to do. If you've got a gut feeling about something, I say pay attention to it, or at least heed the warning and give it some consideration. You know, because unfortunately these people are still out there. That's why I still send out letters and updates about different scams. I sent just to make people aware of it, because technology, like for me, most of my clients are retired. A lot of them are older. I've got clients in their 80s and 90s now. They didn't grow up with the internet or a computer or technology, right?
Yeah, that's a different world, man.
Right? They didn't have a cell phone, right?
Yeah, of course.
No email, and they certainly didn't know anything about smishing, smishing campaigns, right?
Yeah, that's
which I've learned is this is a text message scam. Okay, it's a text message scam that you need to be familiar with, because the criminals always seem to be a step or two ahead of law enforcement, if not more. And so there's a lot of scams out there involving text messages, email messages. In addition, we all know about the phone call scams. But more and more people are getting caught with these text and email scams. And so there are sources out there that you can find that give you tips, like from the Federal Trade Commission, things like that. I send those out periodically to my clients just to help people, give them a heads up and say, hey, watch out for this. I don't want you to be a victim of this. So make sure you're up to date with the latest, you know, tricks that these bad people have, because I hate to see anybody caught in one of their in one of their scams.
You've got great information like that on your website at silverleaffinancial.com, and that's a great way to end the show, Kevin, is just send folks to the website and get informed. Get yourself educated.
Yes, 100%, guys. Check out the site, silverleaffinancial.com. Please feel free to set up an appointment with me, set up a brief phone call, and request the book. I'd be happy to send that to you. So hope you found the information useful, and I look forward to talking to you guys again next week.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio X-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.